Alrighty, Kansas City, welcome to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunard and Frank Bull on this beautiful day in Kansas City, finally.
Yes.
No rain, a beautiful sunny day, good temperatures, not a lot of wind, a Chamber of Commerce Day right here in Kansas City.
Perfect day to play golf.
We did. Frank and I played a little bit of golf today.
We did.
I wouldn't say it was great golf, but it was golf.
I think we played pretty well.
Yeah, I guess we played okay. We did slather a lot of CBD American Shaman anti-inflammatory cream on our knees and elbows and everywhere
back.
Else. And I actually used some of the sunblock today. I had to use sunblock because the damn sun was out. Finally. So we do appreciate our great sponsor, CBD America Shaman. Frank's got a couple notes that he's going to bring up here in a second about what's going on with American Shaman. They have some great things coming up. But don't forget, guys, 30% off all products, all stores. And you know, I just want to thank, I'm dead serious when I say this. I want to thank American Shaman. My dogs, I have two dogs that just freak out with storms. I mean, freak out with storms. And we are being proactive because we knew those storms were coming. And the other night, I don't know, Frank, if you guys, you're a little bit farther south than we are, but there were some thunder booms that shook our house.
Oh, yeah.
It was unbelievable. It reminded me of when you're growing up and you're a little kid and you it seemed like the storms were always bigger and badder.
Hide under the bed.
Yeah, and my dogs, they got through it okay. We didn't have the sitting on my pillow and panting in my ear for 2 hours. So I really and truly want to thank CBD American Shaman. Go out and get the dog treats. You know, there's going to be some storms that come around. I think this weekend we might have some storms too. So if you have a dog and I guess it may probably give some to cats. I don't think cats particularly care. Cats are their own little
cats
entity.
Don't care.
They don't care. That's why I like cats. See, they don't give a rat's ass about anything. But I want to our dogs got through those storms, and I was able to get some sleep. So thanks to American Shaman, and American Shaman's got some cool things coming up. Is it this weekend, Frank?
Yeah, they got one coming up on June 4th, of course. That is Saturday, Monarch Stadium. It is called Tacos and Tequila. From 2 o'clock until 10 o'clock, and CBD American Shaman is the main sponsor. Just put that together last week, really quickly turned it around, and they give so much back to the community. They are involved in virtually everything we do and in every charity. In fact, I went down to see both Jamie and Vince the other day, just yesterday as a matter of fact, went down. They put together a beautiful gift basket that my daughter is going to auction off. Tomorrow at her golf tournament, they have a golf tournament that gives back to, they pick a family that gets all the proceeds from that golf tournament that my daughter Lauren puts together every year. They gave just a fantastic basket, just incredible. So I want to thank them. And of course, I got some more topical for myself. And you know me, I'm a little selfish.
Yeah, why not?
I got stuff for me.
Got to take
care
of yourself.
He's
got minds. And guys, don't forget also that if you are going down and listen, you know what, you're sitting out maybe tonight on the back porch and maybe you want to have a little bit of a cocktail. Don't forget about the CBD sparkling teas and the CBD sparkling waters that they have out. Delicious, delicious products which are infused with a cannabidiol export extract that is a naturally occurring cannabinoid, which is found in the hemp plant. And it is a great, great option for you to just kind of sit back and relax. You got a little bit of the, you know, the alcohol, or a little bit of that mixed drink that you can kind of just chill a little bit with. And cannabinoid also brings you down. The anxiety goes and melts away. And in this day and age, we all need just a little bit of anxiety to kind of step back a little bit.
Really?
And this would do it for you.
Are you leading into something?
Yeah, you know what? I think we're going to ship some
skinnedness.
We're going to ship some sparkling tea over to One Arrowhead Stadium. Yes. See if maybe we can take the anxiety and a little bit relax a little bit, as we're going to talk a little bit about the press conference today that our own Todd Lebo asked a question to Andy Reid, and Andy called him a shock jock. I don't get it.
I've known Todd Lebo for longer than Lebo probably wants to remember.
Right. I mean, you had him as an intern.
He's the smartest guy I know. Well, he's on our staff over at Channel 4 too.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he's been here.
forever.
Ever since I've been here, too. He got here before me.
Right.
And he's been here forever, too. It's just it's unbelievable. Todd Lebo, they had the OTAs. Okay, of course, their quarterback, we'll talk about that. Last night played in the match. He carried Josh Allen as far as he could, and then Aaron Rodgers dumped in a putt in the last hole and won it for the old guys. And it was sort of fun. Early on, the players were really into it and stuff and having fun. Then all of a sudden, they got serious about the golf because the young guys fell behind by a couple holes. And so Charles Barkley, who is terrific, took it up. J.J. Watt was up there as well. And so they had those two were in the booth. And then it was those guys then carried it from that point on. And, of course, the quarterback, talking about Patrick Mahomes, third hole. He goes, I was going to wait till the fourth hole. We're down two holes, so I'm going to pop this now. He grabs a Coors Light can, and he pops the top. And from then until the end, he kept his Coors Light brand up in front of the national network of everybody watching the golf tournament, which is smart on his part.
Little aiming fluid.
Yeah, right. And everybody's talking about, oh, man, are you driving? He hasn't driven a car, and I can't remember how long. Okay, he's got drivers. Don't worry about yeah, but he was in a golf car. He ain't going to run over anybody in a golf cart. Oh, relax. Boy.
If you got on everybody who had a beer in a golf cart, everybody that played golf would probably be in jail.
Relax.
I will say that, he represented Kansas City. Well, I think.
Oh, he did.
You know, he's a fun guy, and Josh Allen. It was funny because they were ripping him for being kind of chubby.
Yeah.
And I thought that was funny.
That was
too.
Tom Brady did.
Welcome
that.
To the locker
couple,
room, guys.
He had a couple fat shots, and he said, "I hit a couple like Josh Allen there, a little fatty there."
I think Josh Allen said something about, "Yeah, you started playing when I was like three
four.
Years old or four years old. I had body fat." He goes, "You still do. You still have that baby fat." Which was funny, but which wasn't really funny is Andy Reid at the press conference today. Lebo asked him a question. We'll play the clip here in a couple seconds, but why don't you break it down, Frank, because you know more about it than I do. It's, you know, they're so on a podcast or something, and Tyreek Hill was on and basically was asked a couple questions how he liked being in Kansas City, about him leaving
Wanted
Kansas City.
To be here. That
so,
was the big thing.
Oh, you
to,
got
so.
That, Rudy?
Yeah, he has
Rudy's
it here. So we are going to play the Tyreek Hill, the real shock jock. Not Tyreek Hill, but the guy who's with him, and then Tyreek's agent and the whole thing. They're all basically on this clip, right? Rudy, this is the one. Okay, so this is what precipitated the question from Lebo today, but here's what happened first.
Once the season was over, we reached out to the Chiefs, and we said, hey, you know, we want to keep it going. Tyreek wanted to be there. You know, Tyreek wanted to be in Kansas City.
That's but, you say that again. Oh, Tyreek wanted
yeah,
to be in
Tyreek
KC.
Tyreek wanted to be in Kansas City.
Wanted to be in KC.
We tried to do an extension with that.
Tried, man.
So I got a follow-up question on that. All right. So this wasn't a situation that you demanded a crazy amount of money, right?
No,
this was a situation where you know what you're capable of. Drew knows what you're capable of.
Correct.
The team knows what you're capable of, but they just didn't utilize you. Now follow up on that.
Right.
Do you think this was a situation to suppress his stats, to drop that value down when it came to a potential trade or a signing?
I'm stunned. I am stunned.
It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I haven't heard that.
That is where this was a preview. The podcast will come out on the 10th.
And then they said, tune in June 10th for the rest of this story.
So what we can kind of take from that was that Tyreek Hill didn't really ask for a lot of money.
No, he wanted to stay, and no, he didn't ask for they call it a bag of money.
Yeah, and maybe, just maybe, the Chiefs held him down stat-wise.
You notice his stats from last year. They really held him down.
Part of the problem was they threw the ball to him too much.
I agree.
I mean, right? Kansas City, seriously. I mean, think about this. I mean, Patrick Mahomes looked for who every play?
Travis Kelce or
Tyreek Hill.
Or Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, those two. That's it.
They're the only two.
Yeah.
So who else would you look for at that
this
point?
Was this DeMarcus Robinson that was talking?
No.
Was this Pringle talking?
No.
Oh, so this was who?
This was Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
The guy that, like, caught just about every other ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I think it's
okay.
100 and, what was it, Rudy, 150 some targets, right?
Yeah.
You know what?
Over 150
I'm
targets.
I'm applauding him. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, Tyree. Good job.
And Drew Rosenhaus is full of crap.
Yeah, he's a,
okay. That is his agent.
Yeah.
And Tyree Kill wanted one thing. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He's got everything he wants. He wanted one thing. He wanted to be the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. He was willing to let the Chiefs pay him that, which the Chiefs said, no, we're not going to, because we'll have salary cap problems if we do this. We're not going to do it. But I'm sure the Chiefs offered him a contract, but
the
it
Chiefs
wasn't
did offer
nearly
him a contract.
What the Jets and the Dolphins did. And you know what the Chiefs did also? They let Tyreek Hill make the decision between the Jets and the Miami Dolphins,
yeah,
which team he wanted to go to before they ended up pulling the trade.
And remember, the contract that they offered him was going to be the highest paid wide receiver until Adams got
Adams.
Offered more money, and then he wanted more than them. And like they told him to take a hike.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm not sure where this is coming from. But as far as June 10th is concerned, the deadline for this, when they're going to bring this thing out, I could care less about who
I could care less
story.
Either. You know what? I mean, I think it's a, you know, if you're the casual fan and you don't have, your heart isn't over at One Arrowhead Stadium, or you're not a diehard Chiefs fan, it's an interesting drama to listen to. But we know better than that. I mean, he knows better than that. And once again, I'm applauding him. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
And wait till he gets his comeuppance when Tua, he breaks deep, he's wide open, and Tua underthrows him 4 or 5 times. That's going to be the end of that deal. He's going to be going, I left Kansas City for this? Well, you left it for a paycheck.
Yeah,
that's
the relationship,
what you left it for.
The marriage between Tyreek Hill and Tua is going to be a lot like the Johnny Depp marriage, I have a feeling, when it's all said and done.
They're going to poop in each other's bed?
They're one's going to poop on the other one and all kinds of different stuff.
Yeah,
so,
a lot of poop. Okay, yeah. So here's the deal. So this leads up to today we're talking about with Todd Lebo. So Todd Lebo, being the reporter he is, not a shock jock, Andy, okay? Not a shock jock. That is not in Todd's.
It's just not him.
It's not him. It's not in his DNA. And here is Todd Lebo asking Andy Reid about the Tyreek Hill podcast.
Coach, I hate to ask you something I'm not sure if you know about. Tyreek Hill, we've got this podcast coming out. They dropped a teaser for it yesterday. It's tough to discern exactly where this is going to go with the podcast, but it seemed to be an intimation that perhaps he was suppressed here. Play calling wise, are you aware? Have you seen that clip?
I haven't, but you're good at asking those questions. You know, you shock jock. You know, that's a pretty dumb question. But that's all right. We'll go on to another one.
Let's go ahead.
Especially if you know I haven't heard it. I mean, that's not.
Well, I didn't know if you had.
Yeah,
it was yesterday.
Yeah, whatever.
Thin skin there.
That is bad.
He heard. Andy. He knew. He knows everything. Andy knows everything.
There's no doubt that he knew this was.
Absolutely. I mean,
these guys, listen, the PR department of the Chiefs is an excellent, excellent department. And they listen to everything, including this show, by the way. Hey, guys, what's going on? So, I mean, they listen to everything. They take notes on everything. And they were certainly aware of this story coming out. All you had to do is say, listen, yeah, I don't want to comment on it. You know, I haven't heard it in complete fashion, blah, 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 this or that. But, I mean, the problem is, and, you know, I think a lot of times people are afraid to ask questions now to power, you know, and Lebo's not. Lebo's not afraid to ask a good. That was a good question.
Yeah, and it was a current story. These guys are promoting the hell out of this thing for June 10th, and it's your ex wide receiver is talking bad about Kansas City. Either say, I've got no comment, or I've heard it. I've got no comment.
Wait a minute.
Or, I haven't heard it.
I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to leave. What? Yeah, you did because you asked for a trade.
Yeah, well, he asked to make the most money, and she said, we're not going to, so we'll trade you.
And then he was given
an
option.
The Jets in Miami
came
to the Chiefs and said, we're willing to trade for him, and they turn around and ask him which team he wants to go to. Makes no sense to me. And thing, Todd Lebo is a shock jock.
I will tell you this. There are times when that red light goes on the camera or the microphone goes on, and you know you're trying to be entertaining. Right? Or you're trying to, you know, be relevant, or you're trying to, you know, cause a little bit of a stir. That's okay. That's part of it. And it's, hey, listen, remember, I told people this all the time. Actually, I talk about it in my book a bunch. We're entertainers. Those people that are on the field are entertainers. You're playing, you're entertaining. It's a sport that you play, a sport that you love, a sport that you played as a little kid, a sport that you always wanted to be involved in. But once you walk on that field as an, I'll even go to high school. When you're a high school football player, that's entertainment for the school. It's entertainment for the alumni. It's entertainment for the parents. You go to college, it's certainly entertainment because it's on national TV. Just about every game now is on some form of national TV. So you're an entertainer. In the NFL, you certainly are an entertainer. And I get it. All right, so you know, the more that you can entertain, the more you can make yourself relevant, the more people talk about you.
Look at the match from last night.
Right,
same deal. Yeah, it's crazy.
So, but I mean, I think every once in a while you have to kind of temper and say, okay, yeah, I want people talking about it because, you know, this guy who's doing a podcast is probably thrilled. Everybody's talking about this. Everybody. But you got to be careful. You really got to be careful. And by the way, it's on tape already. You can't go in and change things or add things or dub things out.
No, the podcast guys aren't going to let you now.
Podcast guys will not let. And it'll be interesting to see. And guess what? Andy Reid will have to answer this question.
Oh, I'll have to ask. As soon as it all comes out and then everything is on that tape, he's going to have to answer the exact same question. Andy Reid is the eighth highest paid coach in the NFL. Okay, makes $8 million. Answer the question.
Yeah. Even if you say, listen, no, I didn't hear it, I find that a little hard to believe.
Or I've got no comment. I got no comment on what Tyreek said.
But don't attack somebody in the press.
Crazy.
Don't attack somebody in the press. No, and, you know, especially a guy like Lebo who's been around a long, long time and has earned the comeuppance that he gets. You know, if he was in the White House press corps, he'd be in the front row. He'd be sitting next to, remember that old lady that used to be in?
I remember her. Forget her name.
I forget her name, too. But
she was always called on first.
He would be sitting right next to her. He's been doing this for a long, long time. In fact, quick Todd Lebo story. I was back when 810 was kind of crossed with the Chiefs because of a certain afternoon guy who was causing a little bit of a stir over at Arrowhead. Carl Peterson's like, listen, you know, we don't want you guys talking to 810. Like, well, all right. I mean, you really can't stop us from talking to him. But all right, if you don't want us talking to him, we won't go out of our way. So after a game, I'm sitting on my stool. Todd Lebo comes and sits down next to me. And we start having a conversation about the game. Carl Peterson walks up and says, we're not talking to these guys. And at that point, Lebo says, are you pulling my press credential? Are you pulling my press pass? He goes, no, we're just not going to talk to you. I looked at him, I guess I can't talk to you.
That's when they used to come to me and say, hey, you got sign for that thing we had? So, I got it. Send it over to you. No problem whatsoever.
And listen, I'm not saying anything negative about Carl Peterson. I'm not saying anything about Todd Lebo. There was a little bit of a cross. I thought it was a little immature, but it is what it is. I mean, you don't like hearing bad things about yourself, whether you're on the radio or you are being reported about or whatever. Nobody likes to hear stuff about themselves, you know, in this day and age of social media, and it's all over the place.
Awful.
I mean, you just get brutalized. But nobody likes it. But you have to live with it. And you know what? And if you are, you know, whether you're president of the United States or whether you are the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs or anything kind of around that kind of genre, you have to answer those questions. And to attack a guy, it's just, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of that.
No, I'm not either. Just makes no sense. And Todd's always front and center. He asks questions. The other part about it is...
If it was anybody else, I don't care what radio station or what newspaper or what it was, we'd still be saying the same thing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's just totally uncalled for. That's all. It's just uncalled for. So.
But we did get a lot of sound.
We did. We're going to talk a lot about that. We've got stuff about Eric Bieniemy that was brought up. LeSean McCoy, I think, came out and got on thing. He said, hey, look, here's the reason he's not a head coach, because he doesn't cheer everybody the same, and he's like mean or something. I'm going, he's a football coach. What's he supposed to be?
Yeah.
So, I said, and you know what? You're a football coach. Okay, yeah. I've been a football coach. You don't treat every player the same.
You do not.
You learn how to motivate that player by the way you handle. Some guys need to be yelled at, and that motivates them. Other guys yell at them, and they crawl into a shell.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes I think older guys, I talked about this with Saran and the guys.
Watch it.
The other day.
Just watch it. Just what? Watch what you're saying about old people.
Well, you know, I'm talking about older players. I'm not talking about...
Okay,
fine. By the way, happy birthday to Frank Bull today. 70-something years old. I'm not going to say exactly.
75.
He looks great for it. Happy birthday to Frank.
Like a day over 74.
We're so blessed to have you around here with us. But
still
I,
around.
I know, still around. Jeez. But some older players, a lot of times they think that they've earned the right not to be coached.
Yes.
And guess what? You haven't. Did I like in my 10th and 11th year having the offensive line coach rip me in front of the room? No. But I understood that's part of their job, and part of my job is to take that coaching and get better. And you know what? Remember, it's all right to disagree. Don't be disagreeable. And the other thing is, you know, criticize the play, not the player. Once you start criticizing, you become personal with the player, then they're going to shut you off. So you can criticize the performance, but don't criticize the performer. And I don't think that Eric Bieniemy criticized the performer unless the performer just would not listen.
How about you keep fumbling the ball?
Yeah.
Okay, why do you think you're getting hammered by the running back coach and the offense coordinator? You keep fumbling the football.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you've been in the league long enough, I think you know how to secure the football. So secure the damn football.
So, I mean, gosh, guys, we're in late May, early June, and we have a lot of drama going on already with the Kansas City Chiefs. It started out in the offseason with that whole Eric Bieniemy thing, with that article that was written on social media or whatever it was, and kind of worked through that, and then now the McCoy thing, and now Tyreek Hill. So I will give Andy Reid a little bit of leeway. He's dealt with a lot of crap. You know, over the last 2 months, 3 months, that have to do with ex-players, you know, spouting off. And, you know, coaches, I mean, he doesn't want to deal with that, so I get it. But, you know, it just, I don't know. Maybe if Andy had to do it over again, he would say something different or do something different. I don't know. But he has had a lot of crap thrown at him over the last couple months, and that's the last thing you want to do when you're... I mean, it's not even the season, man. It's OTAs.
Yeah, and listen, you're going to get the real stuff here anyway. When Lebo is probably the only person in the media that would have asked that question.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
He's the only one.
Yeah.
And so he's going to catch the wrath of the head coach. But nobody else in the media is going to ask that question. And
yeah, so, I mean...
Hats off to him.
We got a couple of weeks left of OTAs. Got a mini camp coming up. So, you know, we're going to have plenty of sound. We're going to play a bunch of sound here in the second segment. You know, there are some guys out there on the football field. I guess if we could talk about football and not about all these...
What? That's no fun.
All these babies that are whining about different things. You know, so according to all, and we're going to hear from Spags on this, that George Karloftis is, he's got the juice, man. He's got a lot of juice on the football field. He plays hard. He's out of playing 100%. He plays every play. And this was his strength in college, and he's shown it. So he's had a really good OTA. Now, remember, like Carl Peterson said, you can't judge a guy running around in their underwear.
That's exactly right.
But so far, so good on Karloftis. Also, Nick Bolton and Brian Cook had interceptions last week in 7-on-7. They look good. The linebacker crew looks good. Scantlin and Travis Kelce have been catching a bunch of TDs. You knew Travis Kelce was going to catch touchdowns. But Scantlin has really stepped up and enjoys his role that he – wanted with the Packers. He couldn't get into that role because of, you know, Adams at the wide receiver
and
position.
Adams, and so does Scantling.
Yeah, so Scantling left and came here, and it's been a good match. And I contend that Tyreek Hill, as great as he was, and I'm not going to sit here because I disagree with him wholeheartedly in what he said and say that, you know, he wasn't a great player, because he was a great player. I'm not going to say that
you're
he wasn't
productive. You're not going to win a Super Bowl without him.
Yeah, it was productive, but I will say this. I think that this wide receiver room is better now without Tyreek Hill.
We'll
yeah, I want
see.
Everybody here, I'm going to say that they're better. I think that Schuster and Scantlin And the kid,
well, you got McCall Hardman,
Justin
too.
Ross is at a nice camp. Right. You have Hardman. You know, there are some wide receivers in that room that are going to get an opportunity to catch the ball, Tyreek, that you got all the time.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, Frank, we got to take a break because we have so much sound. I want to thank our friends from CBD American Shaman for sponsoring the show. We'll both take a deep breath here. I hope you guys take a deep breath here. And nobody wants to hear somebody saying something bad about our Kansas City Chiefs, all right? Okay? I'm going to call it the way it is. I mean, we don't like, you know, we could say whatever we want about our family, but don't you dare say something about our family if you're not in it. And you're not in it anymore. And get your ass down to South Beach. You're listening to Crunch Time.
All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. Frank Bowling, Tim Grenhard in studio. I want to thank our fine sponsors, CBD American Shaman, our good friends, Jamie Willard, and, of course, Vince Sanders. All the wonderful people down there. That place is booming.
It is.
They got
great stuff.
Man, they have a lot of employees down there getting a lot of stuff done. Okay, we talked about the fact LeSean McCoy came out and said, I know why Eric Bieniemy's not a head coach candidate in the NFL. He doesn't treat every player the same, all that crap. So Darren Smith asked Bieniemy about taking part in the NFL's recent Minority Accelerator Program for coaches and front office personnel.
I actually thought the league did an outstanding job. So the thing that I loved about it, there was a lot of things. But one thing, as a coach, we always have an opportunity to interact with other coaches. So that was good. Obviously, having that interaction. The thing that we don't get the luxury of is having an opportunity to deal with the Tim Terrys, or having an opportunity to go deal who's the next Brett Veach, okay, who's the next Ryan Poles. That was exciting because now you get to meet the people behind the scenes and make things work in personnel. I thought that was great, having that opportunity to interact with all the different people from around the league. On top of that, just sitting there having a conversation with owners and just everyday conversation. It just breaks down barriers. It breaks down walls where you can sit there, look someone in the eye, and have a legit conversation with them just about life. I thought they did a hell of a job. There was a lot of workshops. There was a lot of, you know, education type deals. But on top of that, it was more of people who are in this industry, like myself, having an opportunity just to interact and understand how people view things when they're going through that interview process.
And with all that said, what do you have to do that you haven't already done to get a head coach?
I just got to go get it. I'm not seeking any comfort. You know, I haven't gotten it for whatever reason. It don't matter. I'm going to keep knocking on that damn door, and I'm going to keep working my ass off to make sure that it happens. So my job this year is to make sure that we take care of the business that needs to be taken care of today to help us to achieve the goal down the road. But then it's time for me, when presented, to just go and get the job.
There you are. I think he said all the right things. Whatever the situation is amongst the owners, we do not know. But he definitely says the right things. So.
No, I agree with him wholeheartedly. I knew this conference was going on. We talked about it a little bit with our ambassador group and how this opportunity was going to be out there for guys and gals to get out there and meet some of the GMs, assistant GMs, and some of the owners and sit down and interact and talk and get to know. And I think that's the most important thing. Now, remember this, guys, that it used to be where if you were an assistant coach and all of a sudden you are being interviewed for a head coaching job, that might be the first time you meet a GM. So let's say that Eric Bieniemy, and I'm just using him as an example, Eric Bieniemy goes and interviews with the Texans. It might have been the first time he met that GM. It might have been the first time he met that owner. And they didn't know Eric, and Eric didn't know them. Now, because of this conference, because of this seminar, because of what they're doing now in the NFL, now they could say, hey, yeah, you know, I met this guy. I know what he's kind of all about. I know what makes him tick. I know what they're looking for, whether it's the owner or the coach, what they're looking for in the organization. And that's so important. And he talked about breaking down barriers. That's how you break down barriers. You break down barriers with communication. You break down barriers with relationships. You break down barriers with the understanding that everybody's a little bit different. Everybody comes from a different background. Everybody has a different way of saying things. Everybody has a different kind of tone, a different kind of way they present themselves or carry themselves. And you know what? Doesn't make one right and one wrong. It's just different. And when you get to know people and you get to understand where they come from and what they're all about, that's when you have an opportunity to get to where you need to go.
Yeah, and I think he's going to get a job.
I do too.
He's going to get a job. Now, you know what'll be interesting? Might be the biggest thing for him is going forward, making this offense work without Tyreek Hill. That might show them one more thing. And here's Eric Berry. Boy, there's a Freudian slip. Here's Eric Bieniemy talking about what it's going to be like without Tyreek.
Well, I mean, if you're in this business long enough, change is inevitable. It happens. You know, you can always replace the player, but you can't replace the person. Tyreek was loved. He'll be missed. But now it's time for us to make sure that we're developing the people that we have and getting them to do the things that we need. And I thought Veach and the staff did a hell of a job of selecting the guys that we brought in collectively as a staff. I think these guys has embraced the process. They all bring something different to the table, and that's the unique part about it. I think it's going to be a lot of diversity because everybody presents something different. So it's going to be new. It's going to be exciting. And like I said, it's been fun. And you hear us out there. I mean, it's a lot of fun because these guys are learning something new for the first time. And so that's what's exciting about it.
I think it rejuvenates the coaches, too, to maybe go back and start doing X's and O's. You know very well, being a coach, that all of a sudden your players change. And now all of a sudden you've got to go back and rework what you're trying to do on offense.
It's always good to get rid of the binky.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Yeah.
Get rid of that security blanket. And Tyreek certainly was the binky for that offense, for the offensive coaches, and for probably Patrick Mahomes. He knew he can rely on Tyreek. He knew that if all things were equal, he'd throw the ball up, Tyreek could make the play. So are you going to be able to replace Tyreek? I don't think you could replace him with one guy, but you might have an opportunity to replace him with two guys. You have Scantlin, who's fast. I'll do Scantlin, who's fast, who can stretch the field a little bit. And that's what Tyreek Hill did a good job of, right? I mean, he took the top off. And the other thing that Tyreek did a pretty good job of, too, was being a possession receiver kind of over the middle and making people miss in the open field. And I think you're going to see that with Schmidt-Schuster, and I also think you're going to see it with Sky Moore. Sky Moore, remember this, guys. Everybody out there, we keep forgetting about him. He's a highly thought of wide receiver, high draft pick, and guess what he led the league in last year? Not the league, but college football. Yards after catch.
Perfect.
So, I mean, so you may not be able to replace Tyreek with just another receiver, but you have three guys that have a lot of the same characteristics and a lot of the same different skill sets, and those three that may fit into that one Tyreek Hill. And now you have a guy who's fast. You have a good possession receiver, and you have a guy who can catch the ball and make people miss. That's what Tyreek Hill did.
And we're not even talking about Mecole Hardman yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought Mecole Hardman, as the year progressed,
a little better.
Got better. Somebody reminded me because I was talking. I was like, you know, one thing that kind of bugs me about Hardman is, you know, he really doesn't get the deep ball, doesn't make a lot of the big deep ball catches. And somebody brought it up. He said, well, in the first half of the Cincinnati game, he's really the only one who made the big deep ball catch.
Yeah, he did.
So, man, towards the end of the year, he was doing that too. So, you know, I was like, yeah, you're right, man. You're exactly right. So I like this room. And I am going to stand on the table, and I am going to put my fist down. I'm going to say, hey, this room, this wide receiver group will be better than last year's. Do they have that superstar? Not that we know of, because Tyreek Hill is a superstar. But, man, oh, man, they got a supporting cast. They have a bunch of good wide receivers in that room.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch and see how they work it out with all those guys. The other thing about, Matt Nagy is out in Chicago, and now he is back in Kansas City. So EB gets one of his buddies back, and he was asked what he thinks about the return of Matt Nagy.
And Nags is my guy. Me and Nags stayed in contact the whole time he was the head coach at Chicago. So it's been great having him back here. Obviously, he's been a great year. With him having experience here, obviously, a lot of things that we've done is familiar with it. So it's been fun. It's been exciting. Every day we talk about something different, whether it was his experience as a head coach or our families interacting, doing things together. So it's been good. It's a homecoming.
Specifically, given his last 4 years as a head coach, Is there something he brings to that to the offensive staff? That
maybe- he brings a lot because of that experience. You know, there's different things. I mean, you know, when you talk about situational football, different situations that he's been presented, opening new ideas to us on how to view things, just different things on how to scheme and how to attack things. So there's a lot of things that Nags brings to the table just because of that experience that he has. And then on top of that, I mean, he's just a hell of a coach, you know, and plus on top of that, we just enjoy him being around.
It's just one of those things too, in life, whether no matter what business you're in, it's called the Peter Principle. You rise to the level of your incompetence. And sometimes guys are great assistants, right? They're great assistants. They're terrific offensive defense coordinators. They become a head coach. They're not so good. And you just rise to the level where you just, it doesn't work anymore for you. And that's part of the situation. It didn't look like Nagy. Maybe he'll get another shot somewhere. But didn't work in Chicago for him. Probably because he really didn't have the quarterback. He had Mitchell Trubisky, who really didn't work out for him. And so I just think that's what happened with Nagy there.
Yeah, man, you hit it on the head. You know, I'm a huge Bears fan too. So I mean, I watch the Bears. I watch all. If I'm not watching the Chiefs, I'm watching the Bears. And they didn't have a quarterback. This is a quarterback driven league. We all know that. If you have a quarterback, you got half a chance. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have any chance. So, and I, you know, Nagy didn't have much of a chance with the quarterbacks they had. Now, in saying that, I want you guys to picture this. Okay, I want you to picture this. It's about 7 o'clock in the morning. Eric Bieniemy walks into the coach's hallway where all the offices are at. Nagy's sitting there with his cup of coffee. He knocks the door and says, "Hey, man, can we sit down and just, you know, bull crap a little bit? Hey, what's it like being a head coach?"
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you did? You thought you did right? What are some things you thought you did wrong?
What didn't work?
What didn't work? What did work? You know, how did you handle this? You couldn't ask for a better situation for Eric Bieniemy. Listen, I think Eric Bieniemy is ready to be a head coach 3 years ago. All right? But until you do it, you don't know.
No.
So he's sitting down with a guy that was basically in the same position he was about 4 or 5 years ago, gets a head coaching job, and for one reason or another, it didn't work out for him. And there's some things that he did that he thought, you know, that was a good idea and it worked for me. And there's some things that he did that didn't work for him. And guess what? Now Eric Bieniemy can learn from that. There's another reason why Eric Bieniemy will be a head coach, because Matt Nagy's back here in Kansas City.
Yeah, and for Nagy, you know, he might have tried to do some stuff that the Chiefs do and goes, I can't. You kidding? Yeah. Look what I'm working with here. I got no Patrick Mahomes. I got no Travis Kelce. I got no Tyreek Hill. I don't have any of this stuff. I don't have an offensive line, you know, so.
Three people that were just unbelievably excited that Matt Nagy walked back into One Arrowhead Stadium. Number one, Andy Reid. Because Andy Reid, you know, I think at times Andy likes good ideas. I think he has a system, and Matt Nagy knows it. I think he has a plan, Matt Nagy knows it. And, you know, so I think Nagy probably tweaked and messed with some of those things, and he's going to bring it up, and Andy may use them or not use them. But I'm telling you, it's good as a head coach to be able to, you know, have some people bounce some things off you and learn a little bit. Because guess what? Head coaches learn too, and I'm sure Andy will say the same thing. If you're not learning every day, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. You're never staying the same. And I think Matt Nagy makes Andy better. Number two is Eric Bieniemy. We just talked about it. Eric Bieniemy is a better coach, will be a better head coach because of sitting down with Matt Nagy and talking to him about all the different things that Matt Nagy went through. And the last is most important is Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes and Matt Nagy had a great relationship.
Yeah,
a great. Now, not taking nothing away from Kafka, nothing. But Matt Nagy is the one who was able to get Patrick Mahomes to where he needed to be.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that is a Super Bowl champion. Yeah.
Remember, Kafka's gone too.
Yep.
So
right.
It's pretty interesting. He's a doggone good coach. Now we're going to move to the other side of football. Spags was up there. Steve Spagnuolo was up there. Talks about your favorite guy, Karloftis. Karloftis.
Okay.
Karloftis. Kafka. Whatever
what
his name is.
I'm losing my mind.
He was asked, Steve Spagnuolo was asked why he wanted George Karloftis so much.
You know, it was the Zoom meeting that we had with him, because we had a lot of them, right? And there were other guys, obviously, in there that impressed me. But there was something about him that I said, boy, if we could get this kind of person in here, I think that would be an extra bonus in addition to the fact that he was a really good football player. But that's kind of what I was talking about when I said that.
Any details of that you can share?
Of the Zoom meeting? But it was just, when we do the Zoom meetings, in that particular one, Joe Cullen's asking a lot of the questions. I'll hop in. But I'm observing, I'm watching, and I'm looking at the faces. You know, on those Zoom calls, the faces right there, right? And I'm just watching him. I'm looking for body language. And this guy was just so into what we were talking about. He didn't want to get off the Zoom call. You know, he wanted more questions. He just looked real hungry to me, and a guy that was passionate about the game of football, and I think that's exactly what we got.
Oh, there it is. There's your guy.
It's got a lot of juice. Got a motor. Plays 110%.
They'll need him. Need that.
And you know what? I'm telling you right now, he may not be the most skilled guy that came out in the draft this year. At the defensive end position. He may not be the flashiest guy that came out in the draft at his position, but I will contend and I will tell you that, and this guy will play harder than anybody else that came out in the draft. He will finish plays better than anybody that came out in the draft. He will chase things down better than anybody that played down in the draft. All right, and that's the kind of guy that Spags wants and needs, and that's what he saw in the Zoom meeting, a guy that's hungry, a guy that's not going to rest on his laurels, and a guy that's going to, you know, give everything he has, whether it's in a Zoom meeting. He reminds me of a guy, Frank, that, you know, when you're playing checkers, he doesn't want to lose. Right? I mean, it doesn't matter what the game is. Monopoly, checkers. I'm watching that Lakers deal, the winning season.
Oh, yeah, winning time,
whatever it is. And Bussy is talking about how, you know, he was so competitive with his family and everybody else playing Monopoly. That's the way those guys are.
Yeah.
Who they just don't want to lose. And this reminds me of that kind of guy. Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of player you need. Yeah. You want to get back to where you want to go, that's the guy you need. So it'll be pretty interesting moving forward. And this offseason is going to be interesting. Training camp's going to be interesting. It's coming up. They still have some time. The quarterback, it doesn't bother you, right? Patrick Mahomes is playing a little golf and having some fun. You're okay?
Because you know. It's June.
I know. You know what he's like. I mean, you know what you got in Patrick Mahomes.
At least he's at OTAs.
Well, he was in.
I know,
he wasn't here this week.
Right, but he's been in Vegas. There.
And he's now going to, he went to Hawaii afterwards. He's there. His wife is expecting again.
Yeah, congratulations.
So he's going to have the second baby. That'll be interesting to see how that all works. Remember, there's a lot of stuff to juggle here. You just think the quarterback just doesn't have one-lane traffic vision, okay? He's got a family now. Mm-hmm. He's got a new little baby girl who's up running around and going crazy.
He's got a bunch of hamburger joints.
He's having he's having a good time. He is living large, we'll put it that way. So
he's living large, but you know what? There's no indication that when he gets on the field that he drops off. Now, listen, that wasn't a great half of football he played against Cincinnati.
No, terrible play.
Was not a great half of football for the Kansas City Chiefs. But you know what? Those are the kind of things that put a chip on your shoulder and make you hungry, and I think that he'll be able to do that. All right, guys, we're going to take a break. Remember, right now, we're going to continue to go.
No, we're done.
We're done?
We're done.
We are? No, we're rolling. One more break, Frank.
Okay, we'll take a break.
You just
want to
go
for
your birthday party. What, do you got a little cake tonight?
I have no birthday party tonight. No.
You got a little cake?
No.
No?
No.
All right, so we're going to take a break. Rudy said we're taking a break.
Right,
Frank,
we'll
you're
break
not
we'll
in charge
back.
As much as you think you're in charge all the time.
I thought we're done.
We're not done.
Okay.
We want to thank our friends with CBD American Shaman. 30% off right now at all American Shaman stores.
Don't forget about tacos and tequila, Monarch Stadium, Legends Field, June 4th, 2 o'clock until 10 o'clock. That is this Saturday. You can pull up a website for tacos and tequila. And CBD American Shaman is one of the main sponsors, doing wonderful stuff in town.
So. But of course they are. You're listening to.
That's one good reason to pick them.
That's right, guys.
Just hate Denver, is that it? So yeah. You're not cheering for the Avalanche?
That's right, guys. We're watching the NFL face-off, which the game is just about to start between Edmonton and Colorado. And I'm going for Edmonton because I just don't like Colorado. I don't like Denver. I don't like the Broncos. I don't like the Avs. I don't like any of those people. So.
I love Colorado.
Well, I mean, it's the beauty of the state.
Yeah, it's all,
you know, trees and mountains don't boo you.
True.
All right.
Steve Spagnuolo was asked how much tinkering he did with his scheme in the offseason.
Yeah, a little bit, little tinkering in certain spots. It won't be anything that you'll see. But right now, I believe what we got to do is, you know, we have a system that we believe in. There's a foundation of what we do. and we need to find out about the guys that we have now. There's a lot of unknowns from a coaching standpoint. What can this guy do? Can that guy do that? Can he do the same thing somebody did last year? That may or may not be the case. So it's going to take some time. I mean, I'm hoping that the, you know, we've got it figured out by the Arizona game, but we'll have something figured out by the Arizona game. We won't know if they're right until the game's over, I guess.
You better figure it out.
They got a bunch of young guys.
I know they do.
I think their defense is going to be good, but it's got a bunch of young guys. It could have a little bit of growing pains early.
They have their first eight games are brutal.
I know.
And they're going to play eight of the best quarterbacks in those games. They just go, okay, we got a bunch of new guys. Great.
That's right.
It's wonderful.
I mean, think about it. You have a couple of new defensive linemen. You got a, you know, a couple of young linebackers.
How about your corners?
Safety who never played for the Chiefs.
How about your edge?
Yeah, you got
Frank Clark on one side, and then now you get brand new, young kid.
By the way,
you've got this rotation of guys.
Real quick, I haven't asked you this question. What do you think about the Villanova basketball coach retiring?
Oh gosh, floored me. Floored everybody. All the guys. I was just back in Philadelphia a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
They kept it very. He knew halfway through the season went to the athletic.
How desirable is that job? They're going to get a big time guy.
They already got a guy. They got a guy who was his assistant for 8 years.
Yeah. Oh, they took the easy way out.
Yeah, they did.
Well, maybe he's good.
Yeah, we'll see.
Give him a chance.
Yeah, but Jay Wright just walked away, man. He was one of the faces of college basketball. He and Bill Self.
And that's talking about college basketball because I don't know much about it. But Rudy, is it true that KU's starting lineup is like five new guys this year?
Yeah.
Or like at least four.
DeJuan Harris is back, so if he starts, he's in there. But it's,
I mean,
it's
unbelievable the
guys.
Turnover that these teams have. It's crazy. All right, guys. Well, the thing that's not crazy is CBD America. Sean, I want to thank those guys for sponsoring us. Frank, thanks for playing golf today. Happy birthday.
That was fun. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Don't forget tacos and tequila at Monarch Stadium, Legends Field on Saturday, 2 o'clock until 10 o'clock. That's a lot of tacos.
That's fun to say.
And a lot of tequila.
That's fun to say. Tacos and tequila.
To sign up, go to the website Tacos and Tequila.
And look for CBD America Shaman and go give somebody a high five from Shaman. You've been listening to
Good Shape.